still the best now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, and I'm your host and friend, Brian Kilby. No J.D. this week, and no John DeLuna. He is out, and Amy has lost her voice, but she did graciously record a review for Robots in Disguise number 2. Yeah, that's what came out this week. So with me this week, we have XV, Rob Clay, Peter Van, and again, Nicole Hale. Thank you.
Hello.
Nicole, for being here. Hey, great video. Your video looks awesome this week.
Oh, thank you.
It sounds a lot better, too.
I got a new headset.
Awesome.
Because I listened to the show last week. I'm like, holy crap.
I just thought it was Skype.
Yeah.
I'm doing a little different setup. I'm doing a different setup this week. I picked up a new mic, but it's not heavy enough to weight my arm down, so I had to use my desk stand. This is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers Internet radio show, one of the world's first podcasts, the official podcast of tformers.com, and we're pretty flippin' awesome. So, JD, like I said, not here this week. It's his birthday. Damn him.
Yay. Happy birthday, JD!
Happy 50th birthday, JD.
JD is 51. Don't be generous.
And happy creation day.
Yes, happy creation. Yes, put it that way. Happy creation day, JD. So,
one of my friends says, happy escape from the vagina, JD.
Yes. It's some people's
and again,
first day.
Nicole sets the tone for the whole show.
So,
she will be allowed out of here.
So, this week, we've got some news, we've got some reviews, and I'm going to open, I know it's exciting, some Transformers Prime toy during the show, just so I can give you my quick initial thoughts, but I don't know which one yet, so help me decide. It's either going to be Cliff Jumper, Wheeljack, or Bumblebee. I can tell you this, it's not going to be Bumblebee. So...
Did you just throw him across the room?
I did. He'll be okay.
Bumblebee's not that bad of a toy.
I don't know.
So, I mean, Brian's going to break it regardless, so it's not like him throwing it or hoping it is really going to make much of a difference.
And thank you to Chris Triplett for picking those up for me. I will pay you back this weekend. So,
yeah, well, you've been telling Finn back that for like 8 years.
8 years. 9 years.
Or never.
Triplett, he's kind of sketchy. He's hidden bodies before, I've heard.
That's
so
true.
I want to pay him back.
Actually, I may open Bumblebee. I we'll see. I didn't damage it. It's okay. It's back there. I have some sort of protective device, a shock absorber in the floor.
Well, device is the toy's packaging. You can do all kinds of stuff to the packaging, and the toy comes out fine.
That's true. That's very true. So let's see here. Let's go ahead and jump into the news. I mean, there's some stuff going on this week. First up, it looks like there is going to be another video game this year that's not the Fall of Cybertron. It's a Transformers Prime video game. What's up with that?
Well, it's a preview on the Prime Blu-ray set. There's a little video for it. It's no screenshots or gameplay or anything yet, just generally like stock illustrations, but it's going to be coming out in the fall, and the developer is a company called NowPro, which is mostly known for doing Beyblade games. So, you know, set your expectations at a Beyblade games level.
You know what would be great from a Beyblade game developer? Botshot's video game.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, that could work.
Yes,
I haven't got any Botshots yet.
Oh, you need some Botshots. I'll get into that later.
You need more than one Botshot. That's the thing, though.
Well, that's the thing. You need more than one.
Yes. Yeah, XV has a review from figurereviews.com. We'll play later, and I'll share some thoughts on Sentinel Prime as well. So, yeah, Botshots video game would be awesome, and it would have to, of course, basically just follow the rules of Botshots, which I guess would make it a paper, rock, scissors simulator game, basically.
See, now what you could do with a Botshots video game is basically make it like Pokemon.
You think so?
you know, you go around collecting bot shots in the game.
I just assumed that you would be a bot shot. You would just walk around looking to ram into things.
So it would be like, what was it, Bonk?
Yes, it would be just like Bonk. Bonk's Adventure.
Bonk's Adventure.
That would be
okay. We got a winner right here. Somebody get the coding that right now.
Yes, but yeah, yeah. I would think it would be kind of like Bonk. I don't know it though. So, but yeah. So yeah, that would be great. But Transformers Prime video game. I guess coming fall 2012, it's going to be on the Wii, the Nintendo DS, and the 3DS. No word about the Wii U though.
They'll probably port it or something.
Yeah, they'll probably end up porting the 3DS game to the Wii U.
I mean, they did the same thing for, Twilight Princess for GameCube and Wii, so.
Well, it's the other way around. Twilight Princess was created for... Well, yeah, that's actually exactly the case. Never mind, it was mm-hmm. up-ported. But they held it for, like, 6 or 7 months so that you get the real version because they wanted you to buy the motion version, so...
Exactly, which was gimmicky as hell.
They flipped the game too.
But you know, this game might actually turn out to be okay since it's being developed for the Wii. It's not being like redeveloped after they make the real one for 360.
I wonder how they're going to what the difference between the DS game and the 3DS game will be. I've got both.
3D.
Well, I mean, are they going to like shoehorn 3D onto it, or is it, I guess they can sort of downsample it to work on 2D. Not that that matters. But yeah,
I imagine besides being, you know, a 3D perspective, it'll be the same thing between them.
Probably.
Yeah.
So
alternately, there might just be one version of the game since DS games are, you know, compatible with 3DS.
That's true.
Oh, that would be jinky, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, now that you mention it, they do advertise the games that way, even if they're not 3DS developed.
Yeah.
It will play on your 3DS. It's that's even worse than like the Game Boy Color games, because at least they would give you some color that you could play on your Game Boy. Usually, man, that sucks. Okay, hey, also we got pictures of Encore 22, which is Twin Cast or
New that's, Billy.
That's Blaster, isn't it? Because he was Billy, he died, then he came back as Blaster. Isn't that how it was?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was Blaster. Yeah, it was Blaster. But yeah, so he's coming out, what, in March? April?
March,
he's actually coming out this month.
Yeah.
That's what Big Bad Toy Store said. It's,
usually their projections on those are kind of, often pretty late. I think this is a... actually, is this a mass release, or is this not an Encore? No, this is a mass release.
No. Yeah, it's an Encore.
It's a normal toy.
Hmm.
Not an e-hobby?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that it was going to be an e-hobby, but yeah. They released, that makes sense, because the e-hobby usually comes out around the same time as the original, the Encore release, and the Encore release of this came out forever ago.
Yeah,
so yeah, wow. This is one that I really want to, I've always wanted a Twin Cast, and...
And this one comes with, like, the most obscure reference cassette ever.
Let's see here. So it comes with Ravage. That's orange.
Stripes.
Stripes. Trying to get that one.
Yeah, I'll give you a minute with that before I tell you the answer.
Stripes. I'm not getting it. I feel ignorant as well. What is it?
Okay, this is pretty awesome. Stripes was the name of one of Blaster's cassettes from an early draft of Transformers the movie script.
Oh, cool. Wow. I didn't know that.
And then the other cassette is... See, which one was the other? That's Wing Thing was the one coming with Sound Blaster, wasn't it? The other one's from, I believe, the Hungarian version of the Transformers comic.
Holy crap, that's obscure as hell.
Yeah, it's major obscurity with these.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like an inch away from inventing completely new characters.
That is pretty cool. I have to admit, I like that.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
Brian, you're
looks
back.
Like a pretty good toy.
What, Peter?
Brian, you're macking on us.
What?
Yeah.
Or is it just me?
I hear it too.
And no, I'm not talking about macking.
Well done, Peter.
School playground. I meant turning into a Mac. Did he still use that?
I don't get that at all. That reference is entirely lost on me.
Yeah, Peter, I understand.
Well done.
I guess they don't.
Macking on someone's the same as a NICMA, a non-committal makeout.
Yeah.
Basically.
It's like a middle school whoring thing.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. I thought there was some other reference, so I'm whoring out.
No. So disgusting.
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, I totally am. I'm having a mangasm on this thing right now.
I can just imagine that microphone hitting you in the face.
Oh, yeah. God. So, yeah, but that's pretty cool. Stripe. I like that. So I'm going to pick this up. And aren't we also getting a regular release Sound Blaster?
Yeah, they should be out around the same time.
And we already
And Sound Blaster is coming with more of these obscure cassettes, like Wing Thing, who I forget where that was from.
Sound Blaster already saw not an encore release, but it was the numbered reissues. What was it called? They have a name for that line?
They called it I think they just called it the collection, TFC?
Yeah, there was a regular release of that, and I mean, I think most people, I had it actually, but I ended up selling it for some reason. I'll go ahead and pick this one up, because that's one of the few things that I've gotten rid of that I really, really regret.
We've been told that Wing Thing is Soundwave's Action Master partner.
Yeah, Action Master partner, and they recolored Rat Bat to be that for Encore Sound Blaster.
Nice, I like that.
And Sound Blaster's also coming with Enemy.
Oh, that's awesome! Nice. Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's
like, yes!
So Brian's just spent $150 on Quick there.
For an enemy, yes.
Did you hear that? That is Brian just dropping a wad of cash.
Yep. Home.
Yeah.
Are you serious? Here!
Yeah.
That's great. I love that. I'll have to pick that up. So, yeah, that's...
Of course you will.
Did not think... I did not think anything less of you, Brian.
I'm sorry. So, I guess, Josh... How do you spell Duhamel?
Duhamel? Yeah, Duhamel.
What, Josh Duhamel? Are you saying Josh Duhamel? Yeah. Hello?
I don't know. Yeah. I've seen him in the movie, but I don't know who he is.
Oh, my gosh. He's a
hottie. I'm a dude.
Have you heard him? Have you heard him talk in interviews and stuff?
No.
Oh, I don't care. I love him.
Sounds like an idiot.
I love him. But you don't have to sound good when you look that good.
He's not returning for Transformers 4. Oh my god, I'm so broken up. He basically assumes that nobody's going to come back. He hasn't been called.
Yeah, he was saying that none of the humans are going to return. But, you know, already.
So, yeah. So does this lend credence to the reimagining idea?
Well, they keep on having rumors about Jason Statham being the main human in the movies.
That would
be
awesome.
Been doing that since before Revenge of the Fallen?
Yeah,
if they're going to get Jason Statham, they might as well get like Dolph Lundgren and Schwarzenegger and all those people that are going
to go. Expendables?
Yes.
Expendables 3.
Versus Expendables.
I would love that. Chuck Norris. Ooh, we'd finally get to see like Chuck Norris versus, you know, the Transformers. I've been dreaming about that since I was a kid.
Chuck Norris versus Megatron. He just stares at him, his head explodes.
God, don't
Chuck Norris wins.
Yeah, so I heard the Jason Statham thing a while ago, and
that's been a pretty persistent rumor for quite a while now.
Yeah, I don't care either way, honestly. I mean, I could care less as long as the movie's halfway decent. I mean, if you don't think it will be,
no. wait, we do have Michael Bay back, right? It will be about decent and half. What the hell, you know?
So, okay, moving along. It looks like we have some more information about Fall of Cybertron. It's dropping co-op, but it's adding a more extensive multiplayer. So, what?
I bet Peter can tell us more about
Peter,
that.
Peter, you wrote the story. Why don't you tell us about it?
Oh, yeah. So,
Peter on the spot.
Peter on the spot. On the spot.
I can just read from the article. It's on you. So, they are to provide a better first player or single player experience, they are dropping the co-op, which means most likely they were pretty vague on this, but I'm pretty sure they're the person team that they had more for Cybertron.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is everyone's favorite part of the game.
Yeah, sort of. But the thing was, I mean, yeah, a lot of people liked it and everything. And Breaker actually helped me defeat Trypticon at the end of the first game because he was pissing me off so much. But at the same time, I can understand why they dropped it, because they want they're adding more features to the game. That's what they're saying. So each character will have something specific, like Optimus Prime can direct Metroplex to do a lot of damage on a lot of the environments and their enemies and stuff like that. So I understand why they got rid of it. So I won't really fault them for it until I see how it really affects. I mean, co-op is cool, but at the same time, if they're going to put in a better multiplayer, it won't be that bad.
Plus, I'm betting they kind of had some issues just how the hell would you handle Bruticus in co-op? I don't think there's any good way.
Right, like one guy controls the legs and the other guy controls the body and one guy controls the guns.
There's been fanfic uh-huh. about that, actually, and it wasn't good, so I don't think a game could pull it off even as well, so...
Although, actually, if you think about it, it could work. You have one guy controlling the shield arm, Vortex. You have one guy controlling the weapon, and then the other one...
Oh, my God.
This sounds like an episode of Power Rangers.
Probably not as
well for Voltron.
Except for actually using the remote and not, like, have somebody just randomly animatronic.
I just imagine basically everybody sitting on a bench together and, like, you know, shooting... Like with the left.
Still not going to work.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever tried, like, a team game where you guys were, like, in, like, a... I mean, just you could try, like, a team leg race, like a three-leg race. People would be falling over all over the place.
I want a three-leg race game.
Disaster. Be a virtual three-legged race. It's not going to go well.
I mean, no one's tried hard enough yet, I think, is the issue.
Yeah. Another thing that you guys may be happy about is that Grimlock will not have a gun. Or a blaster, he's just going to go around slashing the crap out of people and breathing fire on people. So that sounds rather interesting.
Grimlock has a gun.
It sounds decent, but I'd be not happy about it if I were any good with melee and War for Cybertron.
I need to play War for Cybertron.
Yeah, I think this is interesting. You would definitely be at a disadvantage when it comes to multiplayer, for sure. You'll probably get a gun then.
I think I broke my Sentinel Prime bot shot. In the course of the show.
Good job. How is that? only you.
Those
only
things are
you.
Made for children, Kilby.
Well, that's good, because I was kind of figuring you'd break the Prime figure when you opened it, so maybe you won't.
We'll see.
A baby couldn't break it if it sat on it.
It's
How
hinged.
Did you break it with your hand?
It has a spring in it. It's hinged. It's going to fall apart eventually. They're not.
No, it's not meant to.
It's like $4. It's not meant to last.
Brian, how long have you had that bot shot?
A couple days.
It's not meant to last. No. These things are disposable. They're like one-use toys, man.
Brian, I have thrown the Starscream at the wall to transform it, and it still works.
It still works, too. It's just it's
broken. It still works. You just got to use your hand. The spring just doesn't work anymore. So the actual gimmick of the toy does no longer work. That's all.
Basically.
It still works. I mean, it's not in the puddle in my hands.
Let's go ahead and take a break.
so Brian can go weep his manly tears over his bot shot.
Pretty much.
Pretty sure.
See?
We're going to go ahead and join Rob Springer and follow up with Amy and XV's review. Starscream. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Bringer.
This heavy tread. You know, he's on the power core combiners. And, well, before I get started, you ever notice Heavy Tread's gun is basically an elephant's head? You know, it's a great minicon. You know, it makes a decent set of armor and a decent thing for his vehicle mode. I think it's a cow catcher is the term. But in gun mode, it's just kind of, yeah, that's where he falls apart. Anyway, what I'm talking about this week is, you know, people are talking about, hey, Power Core Combiners might come to Japan. You know, I think it was one of the Toei designers said they're trying to find a way to make it work in Japan. And, you know, we can all do a grass is greener on the other side of the fence type of thing with the Power Core Combiners. But at the end of the day, you know how this could really work in Takara Land versus Hasbro's marketing? And it has nothing to do with decos or anything. You know, partially one of the reasons Power Core failed here in America, I think, was lack of story. That, and it was kind of pricey for those five packs. At least I think so. In Japan, what they could do, theoretically, is, you know, people are saying, hey, they could, like, make this guy Brawn, or I think his name's Undertow, make him G2 Manta Ray. And maybe. But what I think they could do is sell these guys on their own, okay? Maybe come with a minicon, maybe not. Now, they could sell the minicons and the drones in blind packs. You know, they've already sold some of the minicons as Target Masters to some success. What I think they could do is they could take these minicons, or maybe come with the minicon, maybe not, and the drones, and sell them as blind packs. Now, blind packs sell really well in Japan. I think we all know this. And those are Q-tips. And, say, for instance, you buy one of these, and it's like, oh, cool, it's a cool little figure. And they could theoretically put them in a G1 continuity setting. I mean, I would like to think they could work pretty well in the setting they have for G1. You know, or hey, even Prime, because Prime has minicons. Either way, so you got your figure, and you got these little ports. Well, these blind packs come with cool little drones that are like toy cars and stuff that are pretty fun little cars on their own right. But you get one of these, and the possibilities are endless. But, oh, it's an arm. Oh, it's a leg. And there goes the whole customization aspect of it all. Like, you know, hey, you know, there's capsule minicons for the Prime toys. Well, for these guys, it could be like, you know, the blind packs and all that for add-ons. And that's where they could really get crazy with it, because here they kind of themed the drones to match the whole set. If it was in a blind pack, it wouldn't have to follow a theme. You get what I'm saying? You could, you know, the sky's the limit. You got unaligned Dinobots and stick them with a tank dude, or race car guys and stick them with a boat. You know, the possibilities endless. And, you know, with lines like, was it Mudgeon Robo? Mudgeon Bind? Something like that? That Power Core Combiners pretty much took the idea of. That could really work out over there, because that's already an established play pattern. And I honestly think that would work out pretty well. I could be wrong. Lord knows it wouldn't be the first time I was wrong. I swore these would take off here, but I was wrong on that one. To me, I'm still kind of baffled that they didn't, but maybe some fiction or whatever would have sold them. And maybe a better price point for some of them. But yeah, I mean, look at this. This is a great figure. You know, he turns into a really nice tank, and he has a really nice robot mode. You know, this is a cool toy. This is a cool toy a kid would like to have. And then you add on those drones and all that, which here was, you know, what really was to lead a kid to think this is what you do with them. You know, one commercial and the backup packaging. Well, nothing's really driving them to buy them. There were, you know, blind pack collecting stuff is really popular. And then, you know, you go with the whole combining aspect, and I think you got a big seller on your hands. What you guys think? And you know what? Hey, give them crazy colors. Put this guy in black and make him Ranger. Give, you know, Ranger's back, and now Ranger's got this new technology with whatever they would put it, like, story-wise. I mean, hey, the drones could be sentient beings that have no robot modes or something, and they need one of these guys. However they could get creative with it. Does that make sense? That does to me, anyway. Well, that's me this week, and I'm filming this with my cell phone, so I hope it comes out pretty well. Well, thanks for watching, guys, and back to the gang.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Welcome to another episode of Transformers News and Reviews in 5 minutes. I am Amy, and today I'm starting to lose my voice, so I'm going to be really, really brief today because I don't know how much voice I'm going to have. So we'll crack right into the news. May solicits are out. We'll be getting More Than Meets the Eye number 5 and Robots in Disguise number 5. Covers have been revealed, and they look pretty awesome. And I'd almost say spoilers, but nothing really spoils a thing. They just look amazing, and oh my gosh, definitely hook you in. I want to read these now after seeing the covers, so they're really great. Thanks to Amazon, we know that 2 trades will be coming out in July of 2012. First is Robots in Disguise trade, which will feature today's issue in it. And Autocracy will be also traded. So for those of you out there that do not have a digital device that you can download these on, you will be able to read this in July. So, yay! And now for my Robots in Disguise speed review, since I'm still trying to keep my voice. And yeah, it's really cracky today. So, John Barber focuses this issue on Starscream, and a lot happens. We are 2 issues in. And last issue, someone died. This issue, another one will die, because peace requires a headcount. There's an assassination plot and a backstabber. There's a patsy and there's a hero. And we get the reveal of who that shadowy figure was in issue number 1. Who all these characters are? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You're going to have to go and pick it up today, in fact, because it's available at your local comic shop, and it's same day as print on your digital device, courtesy of Comixology. Robots in Disguise, issue 2, is well-paced. We also find out just how awesome Bumblebee is with his trusty cane. And Prowl doesn't like to be upstaged, so we'll see how he handles that. And as you can probably guess, I really enjoyed this issue, as I was mentioned in the transmission section as well as the other podcast I co-host, The Underbase. And for that, thank you, IDW. Thank you, John. Everybody, wow. I really appreciate that. I'm giving this issue a 9 out of 10 stars, so go check it out. And this will wrap up my Transformers comic news and reviews in 5 minutes. We'll see you next week, and hopefully I will actually have a voice.
Go Hot Rod!
Transforming Laser Rod! Flying all around in the air and on the ground! Transformer Rotors are spinning! They can change before your eyes! There's a Rotor shooting guys! When they get into a battle, they be winning! Blazing in the dark! Laser Rod!
Transforming rotors.
Yeah. Transformers Generation 2. Rotors and laser rods each sold separately.
With thanks to Brontosaur for passing it along to me, I've got a Botshot Starscream to review today. He was kind enough to send this over on the condition I do a review of it, and so I wanted to give him my very best effort in return. But instead he's getting this video. Haha. Starscream's vehicle mode is a super deformed F-22, just like the movie Starscream. Unlike movie Starscream, he has 4 big goofy wheels. A jet with comedically placed giant wheels. How could I not love this? Despite the SD styling, you couldn't ask for more surface detail on this toy. Simple panel lines, engine details, even the zigzag panels to scatter radar. It's all the detail of a regular Transformer crammed in a head-on collision waiting to happen. The squashed proportions, oversized wheels, general size. This reminds me of something, but I can't quite place what. As you can see, Starscream rolls along nicely on those big wheels. Transforming Starscream is the best fun. Just run him into something. If you don't have another bot shot, any larger object will do. Triggering it while stationary is fun to do, too. Snapping it back to vehicle mode is nearly as easy, too, making it great for just jumping between modes quickly. The robot mode gives away the toy's nature as a game piece, as everything is sacrificed for uniformity and the function of the game. True to SD style, the head is large and prominent, and so is one of the most distinctive features of the robot. The design is clearly G1 inspired rather than the vehicle mode's movie origin. Like all these figures, the whole front of the vehicle hangs off the back. Best not to look at it except from the front. What you see really is what you get. It's not an action figure, and its role as a game piece doesn't call for any articulation. Or legs, beyond just a platform to sit on. Just don't go expecting even Cyberverse or even Minicom playability from Botshots. It's just not there in any conventional sense. What Botshots is a game. What kind of game? Well, Botshots is basically Bakugan meets Transformers meets Rock, Paper, Scissors. The game is fully self-contained to the Botshots figures, who each can show one of three attack powers: Sword, Blaster, and Fist. Sword beats Blaster, Blaster beats Fist, and Fist beats Sword. When two Botshots show the same attack power, whoever has the higher attack strength number wins. Very easy to follow game, with no support cards or shields or defense values to keep track of. And it makes sure to involve smashing two toys together in every match. What's not to love about this? With a suggested retail price of about $4 each, it's really worth picking up at least one Botshot. I like Starscream for the goofiness of an SD jet with big car wheels, and it was a happy coincidence that Brontosaur hooked me up with one. Toys R Us, as usual, is marking them up a little, but as these get wider distribution, you'll be able to find prices closer to the SRP. The springy transformation is a lot of fun when you can just press one big button and watch it jump to robot mode, and I find it makes a great desk toy because of it. Botshot's Starscream scores very good on the figurereviews.com non-numeric rating scale. But man, these are also kind of addicting. I want more. And especially the launcher bases shown at Toy Fair, which haven't hit stores yet. With over 40 styles already planned for the line, even if the game doesn't appeal to you, there's a good chance you'll find one Botshot that catches your eye. And for just a few dollars, there's no reason not to grab it.
And much thanks to figurereviews.com for letting us steal that video. So, thanks, XV and Rob.
Sure.
Theft is fun.
Theft is fun. So, you really, I mean, I think you like Botshot Starscream as much as I like Sentinel Prime. And here he is. Let me bring my video up.
Sentinel Prime, oh, God, he right? broke. Hang on.
I didn't break mine.
Hey, he still works. He still works. Just
as a quick thing, Rob and XV are helping contribute some really good reviews on tformers.com as well. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Finally.
Yes.
You want your stuff to get read? Don't. I'm kidding. Sorry. I am awful. So, but yeah, here's Sentinel Prime. I really like it. It's, to me, it's kind of like the, it's almost like a reimagining of, maybe Spy Changers in a way, not in the sense that it's not in the sense that there's just it's small, and but in the sense that I guess it's small and cheap, and there's just a hook to it. I mean, Spy Changers were fun.
I've heard that compared to Jump Starters too.
Yes, the thing is, I'm disappointed. These would be perfect. These would be absolutely perfect if they had a spring driven motor.
Yeah, if they had a pullback motor.
It would be the best thing ever. I would just die.
Well, then
they'd
be throttle bots. Yes. I mean,
or
Powertrons, which I think I'm probably the only person in the world who actually remembers.
I don't.
Of course you are, Rob.
Yes.
There were these little like rev up things from Ertl. They have friction motor.
Yes, I remember those. I had those.
I actually have a whole bag of them I got from the car museum in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, still on the card.
I had the motor. I had one of those motors for years, and I wondered where it came from. It was one of those things I just had a part of it left. Yes, I remember that. But I love these things, and I only have one, and I really don't have anybody to play the game with. But I really think that it's just a phenomenal idea, and if it did have the pullback motor, it would seriously be like the best toy ever.
No, I was thinking about that too, that it would be more effective for the game also if it was a pullback motor, but I kind of like it where it's just you can freewheel it along instead.
Yeah. And it, you know, I mean, the kit toys have a lot of character. They have simple transformations. I mean, I'll be probably excommunicated for saying this, but if Transformers was nothing but stuff like this, I would be happy.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely appeal to this. I want more of these.
Yeah.
To ram into things.
Yeah, if Hasbro wanted to go cheap and just make, like, nothing but crap like this, I would probably be the happiest nerd, like, ever. Try to squeeze more character into it and less generic, movie-verse, you know, designs. I love this.
I still need to give me some.
Yeah, I love this. But, you know, Triplet, I'd mentioned in the pre-show and during the beginning of the show, picked up Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, and Wheeljack for me, and I've yet to open them. I haven't had a chance to. So I think I'm going to open one during the show. And I actually...
At the beginning, people were wanting you to do Wheeljack.
Okay.
At the beginning of the chat.
Wheeljack. So. Here we go. So who has Wheeljack here?
I haven't found anything from Prime yet, Seth.
I got Bumblebee RC and Starscream, the first edition, so that's what I've got.
So I'm going to take my handy-dandy little microscopic, I don't remember the name of the model, my Victorinox Swiss Army knife. I'm going to cut the packaging.
Yourself.
Myself.
Oh, okay.
Cut himself and the toy at the same time.
Yeah, this is not going to end well. But
Kelby's going to break his knife.
She'll put it in front of the video. Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to break the knife, the microphone, the webcam, and the Wheeljack in half.
He's just going to take it off.
I'm not going to transform this, but I do want to open it on the show because I have it. And it looks really nice in the packaging. I actually told Triplet that I might actually just keep it in the package because I tend to do that.
The nice package, right?
The packaging is gorgeous. I mean, there's just something to the card that I really dig. I mean, look at that. It's just a nice look. It's kind of maybe a little generic, but otherwise, I mean, it's just a really nice looking card. And the fact that it's the character and, you know, and very prominently displayed there, I really like it. Here's the car. And his dual swords just sort of slide off the thing right there. Other than RC and Starscream, this is my first Prime toy. And it's a shame that it's not the, the first edition stuff. But I'll take this.
Was Wheeljack slated a...
I don't know, but line in general. It's got a nice little weight to it, I guess. It's not it feels solid enough, but it's kind of light. It doesn't really have the same, I guess, quality feel as some of the later or earlier stuff that we've got in the last few years. But of course the price of everything, like crude oil and materials, have gone way up, so I don't really know what he's made from, but it doesn't feel bad, but it just the plastic quality. It's not cheap, but it just feels kind of not solid. But I like it. It's a good weight.
It's still plastic. It's just
wet. It's plastic. I just don't know. I don't know what type of plastic.
How does the paint job look on it?
It looks fine. I mean, he's mostly white. Of course, he just has a couple of paint apps. God, I am going to try to transform this up without the instructions. I shouldn't be doing that. I really shouldn't be doing
Snap.
That.
Oh. Snap. There goes that head.
In all fairness, when I got my first, when I got my Starscream, my Prime Starscream, I did snap a leg off.
Well, I mean, you know,
ball joints. So
yeah,
he has like two ball joints that I can see. So yeah, I'm not going to try this. I will break
it. Don advises you to make sure to read the instructions because the legs are weird.
Yes. Yeah, I can tell that.
And John is also saying to be sure to break the toy while it's on the camera and not.
I don't. Yeah, I think Don's right. The legs are funky.
Amy's disappointed that you're not doing this you're not transforming it. What should you call yourself, Jan? Come on.
Come on. You need to not read the instructions and just break it.
I don't even know how the legs work. That's a new leg joint.
Usually legs go one right in front of the other, you know. Oh, okay.
So, normally, you know, occasionally, I think we all talked about how novel Drift was designed, and I think he had one of the neatest leg transformations in recent memory. It's kind of elegant in a way. This doesn't make any sense. It's kind of like one of those drawings where it's like a hand drawing itself. It just can't exist. That's what this is. I don't see how this is going to work. I'm afraid of that. I'm going to set that
aside. So you're saying M.C. Escher is on the Transformers design team.
Oh, that would be awesome. So yeah, I don't have
transforms from topological defect and back.
Yes, I don't have any type of conclusion on this toy. So there's no resolution on this. I will have more next week.
Resolution not broken.
Resolution not broken yet. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
I'm just going to be fiddling with this for the rest of the show. So you guys just talk amongst yourselves.
So basically, Brian's gone off to play with himself, and we have to entertain the rest of the
basically,
crowd.
Basically, who watched Orion Pax Part 1?
Oh, I did.
Do you like it?
I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was
apparently
great.
I'm the only one in this group that thinks so.
I guess spoilers.
I thought it was okay.
Spoilers. The ending was pretty good. Starscream showed up. I liked
Starscream. I liked it.
Oh my god, look at the instructions for this.
Come on. When Soundwave opened that space bridge, yes, right in front of him, that was awesome!
Well, the thing is, I was expecting that from the moment that Megatron sent Soundwave to go deal with the situation, so it wasn't like it was some surprise.
This is the $10 price point. Look at that.
I'm trying to have a conversation here. Do you mind?
I think, I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny when RC just goes hulking on everyone. And then put her out.
She did that like five or six times last season.
Well, then they put her in the Arctic, and then she's just like, "No."
Well, would you want to be stuck there? Come on.
I know,
that's
right?
The best place. No, I like the part where Megatron kind of said who would make the best, you know, the perfect Decepticon. Basically, pretty much describes Soundwave. You know, the perfect Decepticon does as told and just stands there and doesn't ask questions. There you go. There's Soundwave. And then he goes out and kicks ass.
I think Amy wanted to hop on and talk about the episode. So we'll give her a chance to come in and discuss that. So she needs to hop on Skype like now.
But no, the part I like the best.
Go ahead.
The part I liked best was Megatron saying the evil warlord Ratchet.
Yes, I love that. Hey, Amy, go ahead and turn on your video. There we go. Okay.
Yeah.
So
sorry
I'm going to figure out how to make this video thing work. So, Ratchet is basically the leader of the evil Autobots, and that is phenomenal.
Well, coming next year to BotCon Shattered Glass.
Yes.
Shattered Glass Ratchet.
Shattered Glass Ratchet. That'd be awesome.
So, Amy, what did you think of the show? Did you like it or hate it?
I did. I liked it. I thought it was a good opening, and I can't wait to see more of it. So it'll definitely be something that I'll be looking forward to every weekend. And, of course, my kids are like, oh, I want to watch another one. Yeah. Okay, good. So they're looking forward to that, too. So.
But, I mean, it's like Prime always is. You know, the writing's fine, the animation's really nice, but it doesn't, like, grab me.
It's soulless.
It's soulless?
Oh, yeah.
sparkless.
That human part was just like, ugh, what is happening? That human part, she was just like, and I'm, it just creeped me out when they tried to show like human emotion and stuff.
Oh, the girl that had the interest in Jack.
Yeah,
that was kind of like, weird.
Don't trust her, Jack. She's dead. Look at her.
But she says your mom looks hot in what, leather? Come on, that was she awesome. Didn't,
yeah, yeah.
Your mom looks hot in leather.
Yeah,
God, that was awesome. Cool. I gotta say, one of my parts that I liked was when June came on and she kind of said, "You can't let my son do this." I mean, she actually, because like in all the other like the Transformer shows, when some parents are involved, they're like, "Oh yeah, you could go off and play in space, no problem." You know,
yeah, she
June
cares.
Actually felt she cares about these kids, you know, and I kind of like that they're portraying her. I just wish she was in just a little bit more, but.
I think they should kill her off this season.
They will.
Show some real human emotion.
And the thing is, it's not the 80s anymore, so it's not going to be like over some sort of hairband, you know, screaming, "Not tonight!" You know, it's going to be just her dying, sadly.
Like, ah!
Yeah. But yeah,
dramatic death.
I'm sure, anyway, the episode wasn't helped by being, you know, part of a multi-part story arc.
Yeah.
Next week will probably be a little bit stronger all around. But, you know, like I said, the quality of the writing and the animations, it's the same as it always is. It's just, there's nothing special to it. It's not, like, really good or really bad where it keeps your attention.
It keeps my kids' attention. I'm really happy with that.
Well, sure. I mean, that's fine.
It's either that or bourbon and, you know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. That's okay. No, it's either that or it's candy. You know, just, you know.
Well, that makes more problems later, though.
Yeah, I know. It does cause more problems later.
But yeah, so, it's not the best episode of Prime that we've had, but, there wasn't enough, like, emotion to it. I mean, the whole, you know, Bulkhead and RC thing trying to, you know, how impassioned they were, they had to get Prime back, and that they're not good enough. I mean, that was some sort of drama, but it just seemed forced, and it really just didn't seem natural.
I find it really frustrating sometimes when all they do is, the minute that Prime is out of the picture, everybody starts falling apart and squabbling amongst each other.
It seems like he's got a really bad job, you know, like grooming his people.
Yeah.
He's a bad manager. You're a bad manager, Optimus Prime. You're not getting your bonus this year.
Can't just like mature enough to be able to go, "Hey, you know, let's not get too wound up here over this. We'll figure out a way. Maybe not right away, but we're going to figure out a way to get around this." Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny that out of all of them, it was like the teenager is the one that's actually keeping his head about him. Like, oh, let's not be so, you know, yeah.
Ooh, you know what would be awesome? If somehow the whole Key to Vector Sigma thing gets screwed up and Jack ends up being Autobot-X. I'm sorry, wow. I know I'm really grasping there, but I really want something that will entertain me. And this episode really didn't do it.
Oh, I love this episode. I thought it was great.
What drew you into it? What was so awesome about it?
I've already told you. I love the part with Soundwave. I love the ending when Starscream finally appeared, you know, because he's going to be
sneaking around.
Do you love it in context of all the other episodes or your expectations around what Prime is? Or does Prime really do it for you?
No, I'm loving the show. I love the show. It's one of those things that I look forward to each week. So there's some shows it's just like I watch just because to be a part of the conversation. This isn't one of them. So,
do you like it as much as you say as like animated?
Animated has a lot more to go on. As of right now, I would say this is getting up there, though.
Because I think animated was designed for one kind of person, and this is designed for another. And I don't know. I don't know that they're mutually. They may be mutually exclusive. I don't know. I know there has to be some crossover because I like them both. I mean, I don't dislike Prime, but it's just I don't love it.
Well, the thing is, it's only been one season. Do you remember the first season of animated? People sat there and bitched and moaned about it. Then the second season came on, and everyone was on board with it.
Yeah, follow me how that turned around in just a week.
Yeah, the movie, the three-part opener, it didn't really do anything for me, but after a few episodes, I'm like, man, this is really good.
And I think that's what a lot of people need to do is give this. I mean, you finally got to the point where the why it's called Transformers Prime. Now this whole season is going to be building up to it, hopefully. And I think more people will be on board with it this season, just like with animated.
So, in the chat, I see Peter, John, and Rob are talking about openings of shows. And Rob says that he thinks that the setup for Beast Wars was brilliant. I do too. I think that Beast Wars was basically like the perfect setup for a show like it was. And animated does a good job. It did a really good job too. But it,
well, what I was talking about is we were talking about the limited number of people in the world of Prime, and the fact that since it takes place in the present day and in this world, it doesn't make
any sense.
Yeah,
it's like they're living in a post-nuclear Holocaust.
Mm-hmm. And Beast Wars,
no, they're living in Nevada, but it's understandable how you would make the mistake.
Well, I mean, because Headmaster Don in the chat was saying that, oh, you guys are, dogging on the animation, but I would hate to see you go back to watch Reboot. And I'm like, but Reboot was from, like, the mid-90s,
And to counter Don's point there...
The animation's fine.
Reboot
was a good animation.
Just last summer, I rewatched the first season of Reboot, and it's not that bad. And the world is actually like populated.
I don't mind. Right. I don't mind the animation in Prime. I just mind the lack of models.
I think this episode was this episode in particular in animation was subpar. There have been good animated episodes, but this one was a little bit more subpar. They might have run out of time because they're doing like a six.
No. Part. Wait, let me ask you this. No, are you watching it in HD?
No, it has nothing to do with the HD. It has to do with, like, the models themselves and how...
Oh, no, the HD makes a big difference, I think, because before I got subscribed to HD channel, it didn't look great. But then once the HD kicked in on my TV subscriber, it looked brilliant. HD makes a difference.
It does look really good in HD.
Nicole, real quick, John in the chat right now, he asked an important question. Does HD add people to the show?
No, but the way that it looks is a lot cleaner. It's a lot crisper. You can see the details. I mean, when you see Ratchet, you see, like, the little dents and dings in him.
But that's not animation.
I mean, the robots are fine. The robots are fine. I think it's the humans that were the issue.
I have to agree with that.
And that car in the beginning was literally just a block with wheels on it.
But HD doesn't do anything to the animation, though. I mean... If you're watching it and in 30, it's going to be 30 frames a second or 24 frames a second or however. It's not going to affect the animation. It just affects the model, how it looks, and it does look great in HD. I mean, it's darn gorgeous in HD.
Yeah, and while we're on that subject, Rob does have the Prime Blu-ray Season 1 set, so he actually got to see Prime in HD for the first time just recently.
Really?
How'd you think about it?
It does make a tremendous difference.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, Being able to see it in HD and also to be able to sit down and watch it when I wanted, as opposed to wonder if it's actually going to be on,
it made a
huge difference. And I'm really enjoying the show now more than I did watching it off of television. So I recommend the set when it comes out at the beginning of March. It looks great. It really does.
Now, did you get the DVD version or did you get the Blu-ray?
It's the Blu-ray.
Yeah, the DVD's not gonna be
easy. I've got a review up on T-Formers if anybody wants to see it. So it's great.
I will check it out too.
I love hearing that.
That's the only way I want to get it is if it's in HD. If it's anything else,
absolutely,
I won't get it.
Unfortunately, unfortunately, I'm a cord cutter.
What, Peter?
The first time I got to watch Prime in HD. I mean, the difference between that and the SD broadcast version. Night and day. It's completely stunning to watch it in HD, but again, that doesn't change the actual quality of the animation. Yeah. You can just see all the detail put into the models, or not, as the case may be.
Yeah, but I think hopefully season two will mean more for, you know, stuff that I want to see in Prime. I'd like to see, you know, more characters pop up. I'd like to see more human models pop up. I'd like, I don't know, real emotion in the characters. You know, I mean, you know, Beast Wars had real emotion. I mean, like, real emotion. Go back to episodes like Transmutate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Transmutate's totally believable. I mean, the reaction and the way the characters interacted.
The interaction and the emotion that you're talking about, is it because the actors are not acting well enough, or is it there just not enough conflict that make you feel like the actors are, or the characters are really
it's all
genuine?
I think that there's something really elementary, not in the sense of fundamental, but in the sense of not fleshed out or not. It's kind of like someone wrote this. It's kind of like a high school kid wrote a script about. Okay, so compare this. Okay, so Star Trek used to go and take, you know, submissions, and you would have scripts that were written by, like, you know, writers who were, you know, real writers who had been doing it for years. They'd also take scripts from people that would just submit it. And you go back to some of the episodes that were that, you know, were submitted by, you know, high school kids or whoever. The level of drama, the level, the characterization, it's all really two-dimensional. And everything just is really, even though it's a 3D show, the characters are really, really two-dimensional. There's no depth to any of the characters on Prime.
It's like what we were talking about before, how the drama and conflict among the Autobots with Prime out of the picture just comes across as being really forced because, yes, Prime is out of the picture.
Yes.
The writers don't have any other concept of how to make them deal with the situation.
They can't rise above Prime not being there. And
whereas when the couple times that Optimus Primal was absent from Beast Wars, you know, there was a little bit of squabbling, but somebody ended up taking charge and things basically still worked.
Or, God help us, Beast Machines, when Cheetor, you know, sort of took charge. Not that he took the lead, but, you know, but that's even more realistic than this.
Right. I mean,
Beast Machines, of course, Beast Machines had a lot of talent behind it, and people didn't give it credit at the time. Beast Machines, you know, by today's standards, is really good.
Yeah.
But I just think that it's just really two-dimensional. There's no depth to it. It's like
I disagree with you on that.
I don't know. It's like the difference between, I don't know. I don't want to say.
Well, the good thing about it is that Beast Wars, they had a little bit of a smaller cast rather than what we have here. We have the humans add a whole other group of people that, you know, all the characters have to balance out. And it seems like to me that, like, we're not getting a lot of specific, like, problems between the people on the team. Like, the Autobots, most of the time, are generally, you know, they're generally getting along with each other. I mean, you get the quip every once in a while where RC's like, oh, it's probably Bulkhead's fault because of this, or blah, blah, blah. You know, but it doesn't, like, there's never in your face, you know, this is your fault, you know. The conflicts between the characters are not the same. Of course, you know,
Well, and
you have one character that doesn't even talk at all.
The depth of the character is not the same either to build the conflicts around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's important.
Yeah.
And it seems to me they've kind of been focusing on the, you know, the relationships between the Autobots and the humans and not between the Autobots themselves very much.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They haven't.
Yeah, I mean, the major thing they did with that was the Bulkhead and RC episode last season.
Where they got stuck together?
Yeah, and that was really all that happened with them. They got magnetized and stuck together.
Goodness. Or the other thing that we have is RC, where she's a conflict, like, with her past that ties Arachnid in, and she's, like, in conflict with the Decepticon, but that's not the same. But still, I mean, you're learning more about her past rather than things that are happening, like, right now.
I guess there's no nuance to it, is my thought.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
I mean, because a lot of stuff should be implied, or you should just get it from context.
Yeah, and it would build slowly over time without being directly
and
said.
And it's like in this episode, this is the one where we find out RC has a history with someone else. And this is the episode where we find out that someone else has a history with someone else. I mean, yeah. So it's just really blatant. If I said in the past that – earlier that I thought the character design's bad, I meant characterization. I actually think the character designs of the show is pretty darn good. I really like the designs of the characters. But, yeah.
It's a nice blend between the movie designs and stuff that's not awful.
Yeah, I think the designs are good. I think that they do a really good job of aping the movie designs, but improving on them in, like, most every way.
The simplification really helps.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
It's kind of like animated meets the movie, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
That's what I thought when I first looked at the designs, actually. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're doing animated versions of the movie characters.
Yeah, like when that Bumblebee still shot was released. Yeah.
Like 3 years ago now.
Yeah, but I guess ultimately, sort of to wrap things up for me, I don't think the show is bad by any stretch. If you had to stack all of the best Transformers series together, of course, obviously this would be better than G1. It would be better than all of the Armada shows. It would be our Unicron shows. It would be better. Be better than all of the Japanese shows. And I'm not saying that as a, as an Anglophile or anything. I'm just saying it because they're bad. It's in the top five, but I think they can do better. And that's, I think with some more effort that they can get there. I just think that as it is, it's just a little two dimensional.
Well, it is the second season, so we'll see where it goes with that.
Yeah.
And I think one problem with it too might be because of the quality of the, the CGI, the animation. I think we're trying to assign a value to it with Beast Wars and Beast Machines, that level of writing. And, that's not something we've really gotten except for parts of animated in the last 15 years.
Yeah.
We might be setting our expectations a little high with this to start with.
Well, yeah, it's totally not fair. This is basically exactly the same problem that Beast Machines had as it followed Beast Wars.
Yeah.
And because it is, an American-made and CG series, it really does lend itself to comparison with Beast Wars very easily.
And that's not fair to it. Though, the first half season, two-thirds of the first season of Beast Wars,
It was not great, no.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say, American-made?
Well, Canadian. It's not American.
Okay.
Non-Japanese.
Yeah, not translated from the Japanese.
English first language. How about that?
Just to speak to Brian's Anglophile comment before, it's true that you really do lose something trying to translate a show out of Japanese into English with Transformers, especially. Things
just look at Energon.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't think other than a handful of people who even the people I know who speak Japanese, I don't know that anybody really thinks that any of the Japanese G1 series are good. Now, there's some people – back in the day, I remember people saying, oh, Victory is great, but that's really fallen by the wayside. There's some diehard Masterforce people, but not many. Nobody takes Headmaster seriously. Of course, Zone was only one episode. But everyone knows that the Japanese Beast Wars stuff is crap.
Including their Dub of Our Beast Wars.
Yeah, even their Dub of Our Beast Wars. So the only thing that really leads is Robots in Disguise, which apparently in the original Japanese was crap. The Saban did a good job with dubbing it.
Yeah.
But and that's proof that you can sort of take a turd and shine it a little bit.
Sometimes that's all you can really do with a dubbing project. You just got to start over from the beginning and build a new show with existing footage.
Yeah, that's almost what they did.
That's very hard to do.
Yeah, but
Saban had good punch-up writers who had years of experience doing that job, so we got a pretty good product out of Robots in Disguise that way.
Yeah, still though, it's not bad. It's just I want better. I think they can do better, and I think that they just need to quit trying to focus on, I don't know, maybe stretching out what little there is there and just sort of add stuff to it. Because that's really what they're doing, is they're just stretching out the show. It's like, you know, we don't really have anything here, so we're going to, you know, throw in some sort of generic backstory. We're going to throw in a generic villain who we can easily animate. You know, just pepper it a little bit.
Well, you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting in the featurettes on the Prime Blu-ray set is that an awful lot of the planning does not originate with the writers, but originates at Hasbro proper. And I have to wonder if that does kind of take a toll, because, you know, I kind of wonder if it hamstrings the actual writers of the show.
Well, you know, it does. And that's exactly the strength that Beast Wars had, is that they were pretty much left hands off.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that
also, you know, their first run syndication, which lifted a lot of the rules for daytime cartoons.
Yeah, and I'm betting that, you know, Hasbro owning the toys, owning the characters, and owning the studio and the network are going to be kind of strict about what gets put in here and how. Yeah.
Of course, on the other hand, they don't have to worry quite as much about their sponsors pulling out because of something they've done on the show, because
they don't have any. Yeah. How many Hub commercials do we see during an average Hub broadcast?
Like 70%.
Yeah. Sad trombone. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap things up, I guess. We sort of drug that out. We've pulled a Hub. So
we pulled a Hub.
Only thing we're missing was an episode of Full House. And
Full House isn't on Hub.
It should be. I guess it's on Nick at Night. So
yeah, I think Nick at Night has like long term rights to it.
Hey XV, happened this week.
Well, it's kind of personal, Brian. You really want to?
Well, no, the other thing.
Oh, the other thing. Okay, no. Superhero Time had its 100th episode, and on Monday night. Monday night we did on video the live special broadcast for that. And just today I finally got around to putting up the podcast version on the tfradio.net. And there's a link to the recorded video on Blip there too.
Yeah, or you can go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/tfradionetwork, and you can watch it. And it's fun. I really enjoyed watching it. In fact, I was at work while I was watching it, so I kind of had to turn it off because it was keeping me from doing my work. So yeah, interesting. So yeah, that's I guess Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Amy, it was good for you to be able to make it, even though you had issues with your voice.
Just a little bit.
Think it'll be better.
It's always good to be back. Yeah.
Think you'll be back next week? Think you'll be better back?
I hope maybe. I can't guarantee. It just depends on what's going on that day too.
Okay.
But I'm open for it.
That's cool. Nicole, again, thank you for being on this week. We appreciate it. You're awesome. Hey, where else can people find you again?
Me?
Yes.
They can find me at the nerdsphere.madmusforums.com. I have a podcast over there called The Random Fandom. And you can find me over here at Radio Free Cybertron under Fanboy Versus, where I review comics every week. So.
Fanboy Versus is awesome. It's one of our best shows.
It's a fun show. Unfortunately, I never read the mainstream stuff, but now I pretty much got suckered into it. It's like a part of the conversation.
Amazing Spider-Man is awesome.
I still haven't subscribed to that one yet, but I do pick it up every once in a while.
You should. It's fantastic. And we know where the rest of the guys are at, and JD is currently in hell. So that was too easy.
And he's not here to defend himself.
That is true. So, guys, we'll see you next week. Thank you all out there for watching. We appreciate it. If you're tuning in live, just in a moment, we'll go to New Sound Wave this week. Where what was on the show this week, guys? That we're on. What did you talk about?
Failure of PS Vita.
hypothetical.
And of course the ever lovely random hypothetical.
You learn all kinds of things about us through that, especially me.
I like the random hypothetical.
Yeah. Well, actually, you don't learn a lot about XV. You just reaffirm a lot of things about XV.
Good point. Very good point. Okay, awesome. So, again, thank you all for out there for watching, and thank you guys for being here. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.